Where can former inmates go to find a new start? Well, that's what we're talking about today, so join us. Hello friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is a beautiful July day, and today we are studying our society article for this month. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here with us. And in the studio, I've got two of my friends. I've got Gordon and Lois. How are you guys?
Hey Campbell, I'm feeling very well today. I'm enjoying the summer, and I'm glad to be back on the radio.
Good to be here, Campbell. I'm like Gordon. It's always nice to be doing this in the summertime. Hot weather out there, but nice and cool here in the studio.
That's right. Well, we have a really interesting article for all of you today. We are talking about a home. And this is not just any home, right, guys? It's a home for some special people.
Right. And I didn't know we would be studying this month, but it's a great article. It's called A Home for Former Inmates. Hmm. And it says, our deck says, nuns, N-U-N-S, provide a second chance for those who need it most.
That's right. All right. So what is an inmate? Who are inmates exactly, Gordon?
Well, inmates are people who are in prison or maybe in a secure hospital because they might have some mental illnesses.
Right.
And we normally refer to both those types of people as inmates.
Right. So we're talking about people who have been in prison or who are in prison. But in this case, because we have the word former, that means that they are now, they've been released. So they're out of prison now. And they're are a group of women, and we call them nuns. Mm-hmm. What are nuns exactly?
Well, nuns, I'm thinking here, are nuns with the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
There's also nuns with other denominations of Christian churches, mm-hmm. but the most popular one are nuns from the Roman Catholic Church that take a vow of celibacy,
mm-hmm.
and they also do not marry,
right.
and they spend their time really worshiping God and helping others.
That's right. So it's two groups of women. Usually you wouldn't think of them together. You know, you've got people from the church, women from the church, and then you have women from prison, and now they're coming together in a special place. So we're going to be learning about this home, what it does, how it came to be, and the impact it's having on society. So if you've got your magazine or your mobile device, please turn to page 24. And today is July 14th. We're going to be starting on the left-hand column.
A home for former inmates. Nuns provide a second chance for those who need it most. The morning is cold and dark when Sister Rose McClarney comes out of the old brick building on Beacon Hill and opens the gates to the street. She then goes back inside and, there in the warm kitchen with coffee almost ready, the women who live upstairs come down to talk. Big things, little things. McClarney, 75, a sister of St. Joseph of Carondelet, listens. The women's ease and candor settling in more each day since they arrived at the new Journey House, dates they can cite immediately. Because that's the day we got out of prison, said Cher Bialzik, 53. For years, the Catholic nuns here lived in the quiet peace of a convent. Now they share a home with 15 younger women who have been stabbed, beaten, molested, hooked on drugs, and served time.
So again, we are talking about a home for former inmates. These are women who have been in prison, they've been released, and now they need a fresh start. And so they are joining these nuns in a special home, and the nuns provide a second chance for those who need it. Now, what does it mean when you provide someone a second chance, Lois?
Well, I think in this case, Campbell, it means I trust you and I'm going to let you start over again. I'm going to let you reboot.
Right. So we're going to put your past behind you. We're going to give you a new start, a new beginning. So we start in a special day, okay, or a typical day at this home. We start in the morning. And how do we start our article, Gordon?
Well, one of the nuns, Sister Rose McClarney, she comes out of her work. This is early in the morning. It's cold and dark still. And she goes and opens the gates to the street. I like this beginning to the article because it's symbolic of the nuns opening their home and opening their hearts to these women who may have done some bad things in the past.
That's right. So we start our day at the beginning of a day. So it's kind of symbolic of a fresh start, right? So we have a fresh start to our article, a fresh start for these women. And she lives in an old brick building on Beacon Hill. Now, this is a neighborhood in Kansas City, Missouri, in the southern part of the United States, right? And so she opens the gates. And then what does she do?
Well, she then goes back inside. And there in the warm kitchen with coffee almost ready, she has somebody joining her or some people joining her.
That's right. So the women who live upstairs come down to talk. And we don't know who these women are, but we can probably guess that they are probably the former inmates that we have been mentioning. And they talk about big things and little things. Right now, we find out how old McClarney is. How old is Sister McClarney?
Yeah, our article tells us that she is 75.
That's right, and she is a sister of St. Joseph of Carondelet, and that is a Catholic religious congregation. All right, so just to talk quickly about this word sister, when we talk about a sister here, we're not talking about, you know, the someone who is your sibling.
Right, not a relative.
Right, not a relative.
Not a blood relative.
What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about somebody who is part of this religious order,
mm-hmm.
and she has a position of care, mm-hmm. and they give her the name sister.
That's right. So when we talked about nuns earlier, so usually nuns in the Catholic Church are referred to as sisters.
Right.
Right. And we have priests, and priests are often referred to as fathers or
right.
brothers, right?
And the sister name usually goes before their first name.
That's right. So her name is Rose McClarney, but because she is a nun, we call her Sister Rose McClarney or Sister McClarney. All right. So she listens to the women as they share, and it says that the women's ease and candor settle in more each day since they arrived at the New Journey House. What is ease and candor, Gordon?
Well, here we are discussing how comfortable these former inmates are in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So ease is there, how relaxed they are, how comfortable mm-hmm. they are, and candor is how truthful they are, how much they can feel, they can say the how they're really feeling.
Right, how open they are,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, when you first arrive someplace, and you can imagine they've had a hard life, right? They've been in prison, and usually people who have been in prison, they had a hard life before,
right.
and they're usually pretty guarded and protect themselves, and it's hard for them to trust people. But as time goes on, they feel more and more comfortable in this new house, so they feel more relaxed, as Gordon was saying, and they feel that they can open up and share more
right.
of who they are.
Talk very honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's quite colorful.
That's right.
And we say maybe they're not filtering. They are letting everything spill out.
That's right.
Because they need to release it, and it's a relief to them to be able to do it in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
And here in this home with the nuns, we're going to find out if they feel very safe.
Right. And we see that relaxation and that feeling of safety increases every day based on the day that they arrived. And we find that this date that they arrived is a day that they remember very clearly. And why is that?
Well, one of the former inmates here, Bialzik, she tells us that it's because it's the same day that they got out of prison.
Hmm.
And if you imagine for these women who they had a difficult life probably before they went to prison, and then they went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
That day when they were given their second chance is going to really stand out in their memory.
That's right.
And especially if they're in this house, that's the day they can start again.
Right. So this is kind of a transition house for them between coming out of prison and then maybe re-entering society.
Right. I think some of our listeners might have heard of this term. They might almost think of it as a halfway house,
mm-hmm.
but it's a better system, in my opinion.
That's right. So Cher Bialczyk is 53 years old. So when we see these numbers here, they're an indication of their age. We have several people we'll be talking about throughout these next 3 days, and their ages are written in this article, so we will see these numbers. They are indication of their age. Now, have these nuns always been doing this work?
No, they haven't. This is, it says that Journey House is a new thing for them. For years, the Catholic nuns here lived in the quiet peace. And it says, of a convent.
Mm.
And some of you might not know what a convent is. It's in our specialized terms. And it's a place where female members of a religious organization live together.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't have been, when it was built, it wouldn't have been thought that this would be the purpose of it.
Right, yeah. So they lived in a convent. So a convent, again, is a place where nuns might live together, and usually it's very quiet. They spend a lot of time praying and worshiping.
Right.
It's a simple life.
Exactly. You'll think of the convent for the religious order of the females, and the monastery for the religious orders of the males in the Roman Catholic Church.
Right, yes. Now they've moved out of that convent, and now what do they do, Gordon?
Well, now they share their home, and we learn that there's 15 former inmates who are with them, and that they're younger women. We heard of the age of Sister McClarney, who's 75,
mm-hmm.
and many, if not all, of these former inmates are going to be a lot younger than these nuns,
mm-hmm.
and they've welcomed in these younger women, and they've had a dark past, as we've discussed, which we
right.
find out here in the last sentence of this column.
That's right. So we see some of the things that these women have gone through, and it's pretty hard, right, Lewis?
Right, because now they share a home, as Gordon said, with 15 younger women, but these women have had some terrible things happen to them or been a part of. They've been stabbed, beaten, molested. They've been addicted to drugs themselves, possibly. And they've served time.
Hmm.
And served time means they've gone to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Not just been put in a jail, they've gone to prison and served the time for the crime they've done.
That's right. So we think of a prison sentence, usually it's a few months or a few years or even a lifetime. So when we say that someone has served time, they have fulfilled that prison sentence. Now, I did some research online, and yeah, these women have been stabbed, beaten, molested, hooked on drugs, and served time, and also shot, you know, and that. So we get a picture of the life that these women had.
Right, we'll say a violent life, right?
Yeah, yeah, very much difficult life. It was not easy for them. And so now they want to have a fresh start, and they need a safe place to do that. You know, they need to have a place where they can relearn some skills, transition back into society.
We'll often say they need a place to launch.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Campbell, this is a great place to transition.
Right. So where did this idea of Journey House come from? Let's take a look at the second column of page 24 and find out a bit more about this special place.
Finding new purpose. The idea of Journey House is that they would help the women with job searches, life skills, rehabilitation, and health care, while keeping them off the streets and out of trouble. The nuns say the women gave them new purpose, stoking hearts that answered a calling long ago. A few times that calling has come in the middle of the night from a woman needing a ride home. The nuns pull on their robes and head out. "I've seen parts of this city I didn't know existed," said Sister Gabrielle Smits, at 72, the youngest of the group. The oldest, Sister Martha Neiman, 87, smiled and said, I like it here. There's always something going on. Georgia Walker, a former nun and executive director of Journey to New Life, the organization that opened the house, has a rap sheet herself for trespassing at the Honeywell plant to protest nuclear weapons. Neiman has a gambling problem. Addiction is very lonely, she said. A lot of sharing goes on at Journey House.
All right, so what is the purpose of Journey House? What do they aim to do?
Well, it tells us that the idea of Journey House is that they would help the women who are living there with job searches, life skills, rehabilitation, and health care, while keeping them off the street, out of danger, and out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges for women or anyone coming out of prison is finding a place where they can start over. You know, when it's hard, naturally, I think, in society, people have this distrust for anyone who's ever been in prison. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard for them to find jobs and housing and things like that. People aren't as readily willing to help these people because, you know, they're scared of them in some ways. And so a lot of these people that come out of prison end up going back onto the street because they have no other option, right? And then they end up kind of in this vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they end up going back to what they know. If you imagine if you've been in prison for a number of years and you leave it, Your world has been wherever you were before prison and then prison. So when you leave, you're going to think, well, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to the world I knew. And the world they knew was the world that got them in prison in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this home is providing an opportunity for the women to have a true fresh start.
Right.
Not just going back to their old their old place, their old habits, but a chance to see how their life can be different.
Right. And I mean, the company that we keep really affects our lives, right? And the people that we spend the most time with. So if they go back to the old life, it's easy to get pulled back into that lifestyle and kind of end up back in prison. So it's great that they have a place where they can have some positive influences and have some new start, right, with the job searches. And that's so important. And I think the fact that, you know, I'm sure the nuns would probably kind of back them up, right? Give them
right.
a bit of a reference
right.
and kind of speak for them.
Oh, yes. And I'm thinking if this Journey House in Beacon Hill is quite a distance from where they lived before or where they did their crime
mm-hmm.
that put them in prison, well, that's a great start, too, just
yeah.
having it totally and not an area you were before.
Right. Yeah. Now, the nuns are helping the women, but in a way, the women are also helping the nuns, right? We find out that the nuns say that the women give them something.
Well, it says it gave them a new purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this, stoking hearts that answered a calling long ago.
What does that sentence mean?
Well, stoking hearts, we think of stoking the hearth,
mm-hmm.
stoking a fire,
right.
putting wood into it. We call it feeding the fire, so the mm-hmm. fire will keep going and be a benefit to the home. And that answered a calling long ago. So the order of nuns here, a calling long ago, we think of many times for nuns, a calling of helps.
Mm-hmm.
And not just being secluded from everybody,
mm-hmm.
But also that you help others.
Right.
And this really shows me when I read this article and that they are helping others,
mm-hmm.
ones that are really in need and those that might get forgot completely by society.
Right, yeah. When we talk about someone's calling, we often think about this is what someone feels is the purpose of their life, right? We have pastors who have a calling, or you might have a calling to be a teacher. You feel like this is your passion, this is your purpose and why you're here on this earth, right? This is your calling. And so these women, I mean, they've chosen to dedicate their lives to serving God and to serving others. And so this was their calling. And in a way, it's kind of stirring up that passion again and reminding them of the original, of their original commitment, right? And So I like how this article is written, because we talk about the calling as in kind of the purpose that you may feel like you have received from God, right? But then they use this word calling in a different sense in the next sentence, right, Gordon?
Yeah, this is a clever pun. They say, the article says that sometimes that calling has come in the middle of the night. And here, so the result of them wanting to help others, there's an actual phone call. Someone right. rings the house and says, okay, there's a woman who's coming out of jail. Have you got a room? Can you come pick her up and bring her to the house?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we can see, I mean, these women are not young, right?
No.
I mean, young at heart, but age-wise, you know, they are pretty up there.
Right. They really are. We think they're definitely in their advancing senior years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, they're waking up in the middle of the night and helping people.
Right.
And it kind of makes me think, okay, well, what am I doing?
You right.
know, I'm still quite young, you know, am I reaching out to help these people that are in need, right? So when they receive this call, the nuns pull on their robes and then they head out. Now we hear from another sister here, Sister Gabrielle Smith. She is 72 and she is the youngest of the group.
Meaning the youngest of the nuns.
That's right. So she's quite advanced in age as well,
mm-hmm.
but she's the youngest of the nuns. And what does Sister Gabrielle Smith say?
Well, she says that this new purpose in her life has taken her to parts of her city that she didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're seeing the contrast here of these nuns who have led a peaceful life, opening up to the darker side of the city and just really reaching out to society.
That's right. So their worldview is being opened up in a way. You know, they're seeing different parts of the city they didn't know existed. They're
right.
meeting people and reaching out to people that they never knew and that they never met. But they're making a big impact. Now, we just heard from the youngest of the nuns. Now, next we hear from the oldest of the nuns. Her name is Sister Martha Niemann, and she is 87 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What does she say, Lois?
Well, we know that she's smiling when she says that. I like it here. There's always something going on.
Mm.
You know, we think of people this age, 87, they're often in what they used to call my day when I was younger, old folks home
right.
or a senior citizens complex or
right.
something
retirement
like this.
Home, yeah.
Or retirement home. And here she is. Wow, she must be getting up in the middle of the night sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's 87 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's not just staying in bed and just resting or
right.
reading books. She is inviting life to be part of her life and
right.
be a part of these women's
yeah.
life.
They remind me of Doris a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Doris is just a little older than they are, and she's still very young at heart,
yeah.
you know, and she spends a lot of her time helping people
right.
and reaching out to people and pouring into people's lives. And so it's pretty amazing what these women do.
Yeah, I think they must be pretty brave, because they could just have a sheltered retirement or
right.
just a calm, like, older age. But they're bringing in these people who some people would think would be dangerous people to bring into their houses.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to these parts of the city that may be more violent.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So we next hear about a woman, Georgia Walker, and she is a former nun, and she is the executive director of Journey to New Life. Now, Journey to New Life is the organization that opened this Journey House. And we find out something interesting about this former nun.
Yeah,
right?
She's not perfect. In fact, it says she has a rap sheet herself for trespassing, and it tells us where, at a Honeywell plant to protest nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's anything like the Honeywell plant that I grew up near, that means that she scaled a substantial fence and mm-hmm. She got on the property and she trespassed and
right.
she did what she wasn't supposed to be doing.
That's right. So she was protesting nuclear weapons. Now, Honeywell plant is, I believe it's a nuclear plant, right? It's where people create energy.
Right, and it's also things related oftentimes to our electrical power systems, even in your home.
Right. So she was trespassing, and usually these plants are surrounded by high walls to keep people out. So she scaled the wall to get in there, and she got in trouble. So she had a rap sheet herself, and now she's out, and she's a former nun, and she's the director of Journey to New Life, an organization that works to help people in transition.
Right. We have that word trespass, which means to go onto someone's land or enter their building without their permission. You have no permission to be there.
That's right. So we also find out a little bit something rather amusing about Sister Martha Niemann. Well, it's not amusing, but it's interesting, right? She's got a problem.
Yeah, she has a gambling problem. So this is the oldest nun, who was 87. She herself has a gambling problem, and she says that addiction is very lonely. And you can see how the house has helped both lots of residents, both the nuns and the former inmates. The nuns themselves aren't perfect. They're being open about this in the article.
Right.
And they're helping each other. So this nun would be very lonely, but she has a lively community in which to help with her own problems.
Right. I think what's great is that, you know, because they are flawed, they're not perfect, they're able to understand.
Yeah, and relate as well, right?
Yeah. And I think that's part of the point here is that they can both help each other and they can both relate to each other, and that these nuns aren't perfect. So these women who are former inmates, they feel comfortable to open up their hearts and their lives and to share and to find community, which is a huge thing towards healing and helping them to get a new start.
Right. It's just like when somebody, Campbell, goes through something, and because they've gone through it and come out the other side, they've gone through everything, they've done well with it. Oftentimes, that's the people you want to talk to if you're going through rough times, and because they can just relate better.
That's right.
They don't come across as perfect or that everything they do pleases others and pleases God, and they're just this wonderful, perfect little person.
That's right, yeah. All right, well, we have a lot more to talk about in this article, so please do come back tomorrow and join us for day two of this article. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.